For our message today, focus will be on 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. We impart the secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. We pray. Lord God, we pray that once again you would reveal the mystery of who you are, your salvation, and who we are because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The helper is going to help me for the beginning of our message. Special guest today. Joining me for another intriguing edition of Unsolved Mysteries. For every mystery, there is someone, somewhere, who knows the truth. Perhaps that someone is watching. Perhaps that someone is you. Today we delve into the mystery of the man named Jesus Christ, mystery that has baffled the world for 2,000 years since the incredible life, death, and sudden disappearance of his body 3 days after his death. Followers of this Jesus claim that he miraculously rose from the dead. Others say his followers stole the body. Just who was this man? An extraordinary, loving, and selfless person? A revolutionary? A prophet? A lunatic? Or the Lord himself? This mystery has confounded even the smartest scholars for centuries. Yet today we hope to shed some light on this mystery. We are privileged with hearing straight from a near eyewitness of Jesus, an author of much of the sacred writings and scriptures of the New Testament, the apostle and missionary known as St. Paul. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
It's an honor to be here to help reveal the mystery of Jesus Christ.
Paul, I understand that while you never saw Jesus face to face, you claim to have encountered him while you were traveling on the road.
That's right. Like so many others at the time after the disappearance of Jesus' body, after his death, I thought his followers were crazy to suggest that this man could have actually rose from the dead and have turned out to be who he said he was, the Son of God. Being a Jew, I took great offense to his claims and bent my life on persecuting and hunting down his followers in hope of exterminating them.
Yet while journeying on the road to Damascus to continue your hunt, you encountered Jesus?
That's right. I was traveling on the road and there was all of a sudden a bright light, so brilliant it blinded me. I heard a voice saying, "Why do you persecute me?" I asked who it was, and he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." On that road, Jesus revealed himself to me, and I have since committed my life to revealing the truth about Jesus to all people, regardless of the cost.
Fascinating. And you are so convinced of this Jesus that you are willing to stake your life upon it?
Yes, I have many times, and I will do so gladly again. Actually, all but one of his original 12 disciples ended up dying for him, rather than deny him. Now that should make us think.
Compelling evidence indeed. So you believe this Jesus was not a mere man or a teacher?
No, although he was fully a man, he was much more than that. He claimed to be the Son of God and God himself in the flesh. He himself did miracles while alive, like healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, and even raising people from the dead.
And as I understand it, his followers even claimed that he himself rose from the dead.
Yes, again, that proved that he really was the Lord. The lie that left his ragtag group of disciples came and stole a body somehow from a sealed tomb with heavily trained Roman soldiers is ludicrous.
And what was the mission of this Jesus then?
Jesus' mission was and still is to give people eternal life through a restored relationship with him. To do that, he had to suffer and die for the sins of all people, so they could be forgiven and no longer separated from him.
And why would this Jesus, if he is fully God, have to also be a man?
Jesus' suffering on the cross is the key to unlocking this mystery. Jesus became man so that he could be one of us and take our place for the punishment that we all deserve for our sins against him.
This Jesus was even wrote about in the sacred scriptures you call the Old Testament?
Yes, there are about 300 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. This was one to come who would save, deliver, and redeem his people from their sins. His very name even means the Lord saves. The first prophecy came when the first humans, Adam and Eve, fell into sin, tempted by the devil. Immediately, God foretold in Genesis 3:15 that he would send someone to crush the head of the devil and bring his people back to him. This is what Jesus did.
Well, Paul, your testimony has been invaluable in helping me and the viewers joining us to unlock this mystery. Do you have any final words for the viewers watching still struggling to solve this mystery?
Yes. Jesus came into the world as fully God and fully man to save you. Through faith in him, you receive the forgiveness and eternal life that he died on the cross to win for you. In fact, he'll even come and live in your heart so you too can even understand this mystery now revealed.
Thank you again, Paul, for shedding light on this mystery for us.
It's an honor to reveal to people the truth about Jesus.
Thanks. Anybody remember the show Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah.
All right. I used to be kind of terrified of that show when I was young, but younger, I should say, right? But it's always intriguing to hear a good mystery. It's interesting to try to figure it out. We all have mysteries in our life. I've had a mystery not too long ago about my shoulder. Why in the world did I have shoulder pain for 12 years? It wasn't until about a year ago that I finally figured that out. There's some of the doctors here. Apparently all I had to do was a stretch, and now all the pain is gone. Sometimes it's just that easy to have one little key to understand the mystery. Sometimes we just can't help but be intrigued by those mysteries. Maybe you remember Sherlock Holmes or some of the other mystery novels. My dad used to always read Agatha Christie mysteries. But if it's a really good writer, you won't be able to figure it out until the end. You'll need the narrator, you'll need the author to reveal it to you, to give you some key clue to know the answer to the mystery and solve it. Most intriguing are the mysteries of God. Of all the mysteries that there are or ever will be, this is the one that's perplexed humanity since the beginning of time. Who is God? Why am I here? What happens when I die? I won't find anything more important or profound. But you see, some of these mysteries are so difficult that we can't figure them out. It's kind of like if I asked you to think of a number between one and a trillion, and I only had one guess, I couldn't do it, right? Unless I somehow was able to get into your mind and read your thoughts. Can't do it yet, sorry. Maybe one day. If I was able to do that, I might be able to solve that mystery. And that's what it says in Corinthians when Paul is talking about no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is him? Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Even in the Old Testament, God's described as the revealer of mysteries. As he does when he reveals the interpretations of dreams for Joseph while he's in prison. And Daniel as well. He gives him the wisdom to understand dreams. Help the king. And now Paul says, now God's continued to reveal these mysteries through my ministry. The mystery of God's salvation. It began when humanity fell into sin and God promised a Savior, a Messiah. Even the Jews expected a Messiah, but not in the way that Jesus came. It was a mystery how God would save his people until Jesus finally came and revealed himself as the Lord of glory. And this is a mystery that is so strange to the eye and to the ear that the only way to understand it is through the Holy Spirit. To the natural man, to the one without the Spirit, it seems like foolishness. It seems like ridiculousness. It says just in our previous chapter of 1 Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And the Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. The world demands a sign, demands something spectacular to happen in their life, so that maybe something like what happened to the Apostle Paul to prove to them that he's really who he is. So people will be quickly attracted to someone who claims to do miraculous things. Or maybe the world wants something that sounds really clever. The wisdom. The time the Greeks and Socrates and Plato, right, was very prevalent. They thought they were so smart because of the wisdom of their philosophers that could reveal the meaning of life. And because of the pride of wisdom, they were blinded to see that the Lord of glory could come as a man to actually suffer and die on a cross for the sins of the world and rise miraculously on the third day. It seems like foolishness. But to us, the power of God. So Paul says in verse 13 of our reading, as it goes on, we impart this message not in words taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting things and spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. A person without the Spirit does not accept the thing that comes from the Spirit of God, but considers it foolishness, cannot understand it because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And it's only through the Spirit that we can understand this. Although there might be reason that, okay, the world is evil, it needs something, it needs a fix, it needs a solution. But as Luther says, it's not by my reason or strength that I come to know Jesus Christ my Lord, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. The Holy Spirit has sent his light to reveal to me who Jesus is. And that's how I believe. But you see, as with all the fear and the doubt in the world out there, it's easy to kind of fall into that trap that we would also fear, that we would also doubt the message of Jesus. We would say, it's just foolishness. Whether it be the actual message of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, or rising from the dead, or whatever part of his word that we might read, it's easy to go along with the crowd and just to say, that's just old wives' tales, it's just foolish. It's easy to doubt the message and the mystery that has been revealed to us. In actuality, the fool says in his heart, there is no God, the psalmist says. And yet when we have fears and doubts, and when we are called foolish for what we believe, we know that baptized into Christ Jesus, we have that Holy Spirit. We have the truth. We have the life. Unless we get prideful for that knowledge that we've been given about God, unless we start thinking, oh, this is, we're so much better than other people because we know the truth of salvation through Jesus, God tells us that he used the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. The weak things to shame the strong, so that no one would boast before him. The only way that we can understand it is through the Holy Spirit given to us by grace. Then there is no reason for us to boast. There's nothing to brag about. All that we can do is rejoice that God has chosen to reveal to us his mystery. Even Paul writes, my message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Verse 4 and 5. It's great to hear a good mystery. It's even better to find the solution to that mystery, to have it revealed to you. It's something you really long for to figure out. Just baptized into Christ, we've been given the answer. We've been given the hope. We've been given the certainty of knowing the truth and the glory of Jesus died and risen for our salvation. In life. And God gives us that privilege to share with the world. Literally putting his light, his spirit, his understanding in us so that other people might have the key to unlocking that mystery. He says, that God did it for our glory. Learning that we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. That everything Jesus did, He did for us. He did so that one day we would share in His glory. We would share in His glory through the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And our bodies too would be glorified to last forever. That the creation would be restored to its former glory. That we would see the glory of God face to face for all time. For every mystery, there is someone somewhere who knows the truth. And God has revealed the mystery of His salvation to us through Jesus. And the world is watching. Continue to let the light of the gospel shine through you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus. Amen.